Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is September 17th, 2017, and this is episode 145, Nintendo Direct and Whatcha Playin'?
Borderlands 2!
Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
This week, we're going to be talking about the September 13th Nintendo Direct, as well as sharing our impressions on a couple of big recent releases that we're playing here in studio. But first, I wanted to make a quick note, both about GameBuoy podcast and some of the other shows we do. You may have noticed our content has been a little backed up, a little stopped up. This is not something super easy for me to talk about, but I've been having some mental health issues recently. I've begun the process of seeking help for that and getting that, it's hard to say under control, but managed. So it is my hope moving forward that the worst of the delays are behind us, but we do ask that you maybe be a little understanding about the lack of content while we really work on getting back on both feet. So that your time and patience is really appreciated. We love all of y'all out there in internet radio land who spends any amount of time listening to any of our content, and I hope to continue being able to do this for many years to come, and part of that means taking a little bit of time for myself while I get this under control. So thank you for being understanding, and let's get this show on the road with our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits. Slaggy, do you want to get us started?
Yes, so we will be able to access, well, I guess if you have a Target near you, you'll be able to access an exclusive Charizard Pokemon giveaway.
What?
Starting on October 1st, my birthday, and lasting until October 14th. This Charizard will be level 50 and know the moves Dragon Dance, Flare Blitz, Fly, and Earthquake.
Ooh.
I don't know about Dragon Dance, but like having Earthquake on a Charizard is always a nice treat. So we'll have a red card item, which I just... When we were preparing for this episode, I was like, oh, I wonder what that is. I just realized it's a Target exclusive and it has a red card item.
Right. It also has the ability Blaze. Which ability is Blaze? What does that do?
God, I don't even know. All the abilities are like so
esoteric.
So many of them that like is Blaze the one that powers up fire moves in a pinch? That sounds right.
Yep, you are exactly right.
Excellent.
All right.
So, and you don't even, apparently, you don't even need to spend anything on your red card to get the Charizard with the red card.
Good. I don't have a red card, even though probably should.
Yeah, you really should. It's like, it's worth it for the 5% discount.
Yeah, no, and I spend enough money at Target that would definitely be worth it. All right, well, that's awesome. Starting October 1st, be sure to check out Target across the U.S. and Canada. We also have word here that Xenoverse 2, that is, of course, the Dragon Ball fighting game, is going to be getting upcoming DLC to add the characters Dabura, Gohan Absorbed Buu, and to add Zamasu from Dragon Ball Super as a new mentor character. It's a little interesting that Zamasu would be a mentor character given his storyline, but honestly, I'm super here for it. Xenoverse 2 was a lot of fun. Really excited for the Switch release next week, in fact, on the 22nd, so
yeah.
Around the time you're hearing this episode, it's already out in Japan. Does have English language support. It's supposed to actually be a pretty good port, so please look forward to it.
In other Dragon Ball news, for Dragon Ball FighterZ, we have some new character announcements, including Yamcha, Tenshinhan, if you're a purist.
If you're nasty.
And he'll keep all three of his eyes on you. And perhaps most exciting, at least if you're a Dragon Ball fan, is a brand new Toriyama design character, Android 21.
Now, see, and this is interesting, you know, because I've seen a lot of people online complaining that Dragon Ball FighterZ isn't going to have enough female characters. I think it's really cool that they got Akira Toriyama to design an all-new female character, and I think this character looks really cool. What do you think of the character design, Slaggy?
Yeah, I'm interested if this means that we're going to see her turn up in Dragon Ball Super.
You know, I wouldn't be that surprised if after the current arc is done, we see her pop up. In fact, I hope we do. So fingers crossed.
I mean, even if whether that means that somehow Dr. Dro is back or just like another universe, because I mean, hey, it could just be another universe where there's still an Android 16, and I don't know, because apparently she ties into Android 16 story and it tells a what if story. So
excellent. Please look forward to it.
Which I assume is like the Marvel what ifs.
I think that's the context they mean it here. We also have word of a couple of new characters in a different Arc System Works fighting game. These are some new characters, three to be exact, that will be coming in Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle. We have Lin from Undernight Inbirth, Jin Kisaragi from Blaze Blue, and Persona 4's Yosuke Hanamura-san. So, Slaggy, how do you feel about this, in particular about your favorite fuckboy coming to Cross Tag Battle?
Well, since when is he my favorite fuckboy? Just because I always talk about how I wish he was romanceable. I mean,
yes, exactly.
I know that Yosuke gets a lot of hate, but I've always enjoyed him, and I really like the Persona 4 fighting games, so that's cool. It's probably going to be great. You know, all of their games usually are, so.
Excellent. Now, I know that you like Persona 4 Ultimate. I know that you play Blaze Blue whenever we're at arcades that have cabinets of it. So are you planning to check out a Blaze Blue Cross Tag?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Excellent.
I thought you were asking me, like, how do you feel about Undernight Inbirth or whatever? I'm like, I run the official Undernight Inbirth web ring on Tripod websites.
Okay, I appreciate the joke you're making, but Undernight Inbirth is serious business.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know much about it. I don't think I've even seen it at the round ones.
Fair enough. All right, so we also have here word of a new upcoming Square Enix mobile social game. The interesting thing here, this is being called Square Enix New Project. It has a countdown teaser online right now. The teaser will be wrapping up the day before Tokyo Game Show starts later this week. The cool thing is, the teaser site has quotes and weapon graphics from such games as Million Arthur, Romancing Saga, Legend of Mana, and Nier Automata.
I'm hoping that they are sword boys, like that the swords turn into boys, like because that's kind of a popular thing right now.
It is kind of a popular thing right now, and I guess the thing I'm just really excited about is that I'm kind of assuming this is going to be another like crossover gacha game, and I'm so into those. Like, if this game is
those
like
gacha games really gotcha, don't they?
They do. Like, if this is similar to like Brave Exvius, but I can get crossover characters, I'm super excited. So,
see, I like the idea of the swords turning into pretty boys.
Of course you do.
In other Final Fantasy mobile social news, we have
mobile, but I don't know that I'd call this one mobile social.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just kind of the meme, but surprisingly, I mean, you know, an episode or so back, we were talking about all of these smartphone games, like, closing down, but there's another one. Specifically, this is part of the Final Fantasy 15 universe for iOS and Android. It's called King's Knight, Wrath of the Dark Dragon.
So the thing is, King's Knight is actually, like, a super old game, so this is like a remake of it. Like, this game was like 30 years old, and the interesting thing is the way that it takes place in the Final Fantasy 15 universe is that it's actually meant to be a mobile social game that they play in universe. So like initially they were talking about how this was like, oh, Prompto's favorite smartphone game.
Aww.
So it'll be interesting. You know, I actually haven't played this yet. I just downloaded it this morning, but I'm really interested in seeing how the Final Fantasy 15 connection does or does not service the game, and how they've updated it for modern day, because again, you know, an old Famicom game making a comeback 2017 can go a lot of different ways. If it's worth talking about, I expect we'll talk about it in the future.
Alright, your beloved Cult-Sept Revolt has a free DLC sign-up available. It is the Challenge from Hell DLC, and this dude in the image is looking like very shredded and like he's ready for Folsom Street Fair or something.
He does.
But anyways, for those of you who aren't interested in sexy beefcakes, which why wouldn't you be? It's a day one DLC. If you sign up over at the NIS America website, well, there's certain pages for North America, Europe, and Australia. You just put your email address in and you will get the code for your region by October 3rd, 2017.
Something that's really interesting about this to me is that my recollection is that this was actually originally going to be pre-order DLC for one of the retailers, Amazon, maybe one of those. So I think it's very interesting interesting that it's now just going to be for everyone that signs up. And, you know, I was kind of wondering about that because it has a whole new game map. It has, you know, bonus quests. For Cul-de-Sep, that's actually a big
and a book cover
amount of content.
So, like, for those of you who missed the days of middle and high school when you'd buy book covers or make them out of paper bags, did you used to do that with your school books?
You know what? I did so that I could draw, like, my own interpretation of the book and, like, super, like, metal lettering, you know, the way that prepubescent boys did in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I was all about that life.
So I guess this is the concept version, but it's the Soltis book cover, which I don't know. It's a design that's inspired by Saltaria's God.
Excellent. Well,
I want a concept and Saliti horse crossover, by the way, if you're listening.
I would be into that. So the last piece of follow-ups we have for you today is another Pokemon piece of news. People will be able to get the mythical Pokemon Marshadow for their copies of Pokemon Sun and Moon starting October 9th through the 23rd in North America. In Europe, it's going to be October 1st to November 16th. And basically, in North America at least, it's going to be you go to a GameStop store, get a card with the code, and bam, you get your Marshadow.
Yeah, it's pretty easy these days.
In Europe, of course, it will be select retailers. That has not been stated, but I would imagine you can go over to the Pokemon Company's official website and find out what stores are being supported in Europe. Overall, I think this is really exciting. I will definitely make a day of, like, in early, mid-October going to GameStop and then going to Target so I can get me my Charizard and then I can get me my Marshadow. What do you think?
Well, I hope that you're ready to fight against my Charizard and Marshadow, along with, I guess we're gonna have to have a Salazzle, Marshadow, and Charizard battle and just see who manages to win.
Yes.
Be like the Pokemon the first movie where the Pokemon and then the clone Pokemon, that Mewtwo clone, have like a slap fight.
When Pokemon fight, nobody wins. That's literally the point of Pokemon. Right? All right, so we also have some release updates for you. The first one, of course, is a follow-up on a rumor we reported a couple of weeks ago. Okami HD has been announced and confirmed. This is going to be releasing in North America and Europe on the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC on December 12th.
It looks amazing.
At a $20 price point. So, you know, obviously, if you have your Best Buy rewards or whatever, or Gamers Club Unlocked, you have your Amazon Prime or whatever, you're going to be getting a heck of a deal on this one.
Yeah.
So I'm super stoked about this. They're actually working from the original PS2 game a little bit, so it's bringing back some of the features that were removed in the previous HD remaster.
Yeah.
This is kind of looking like it might be the definitive release.
Yeah, I was just going to say. I dare say.
Now, I just hope that at some point they talk about doing a Switch release, because of course I do.
Of course. Yo-Kai Watchbusters 2 will be releasing in Japan on December 7th. Happy birthday to you. There'll be the Sword and Magnum versions.
Yes.
I know what version Gak's going to play.
Right? We also have word here of the Asian release of Taiko no Tatsujin for PS4. This is going to be Taiko no Tatsujin Drum Session. It will be releasing on the same day and date as the Japanese release. So that's going to be October 26th, 2017.
That's good news for you.
So those of you who want Taiko no Tatsujin with full English language support, that's where you're going to go. Yeah, I was planning on just buying the Japanese release, but now I might buy the Asian release.
It makes sense.
We'll see.
Attack on Titan 2 Future Coordinates, which is the new 3DS game of Attack on Titan, is going to be out in Japan on November 30th, 2017. That's Attack on Titan 2 Future Coordinates. You want to fight against some big naked giants.
Yes. We also have word that Resident Evil Revelations and Resident Evil Revelations 2 will be releasing in North America and Europe on the Nintendo Switch on November 28th and in Japan on November 30th. They will be sold separately as $20 downloads or bundled together in a $40 physical copy. Weirdly, though, the physical copy is only Revelations 1 on the cartridge and still with a download code for Revelations 2. I've seen a lot of speculation online that we're really going to be moving forward, seeing a lot more of these kinds of tactics as publishers try to use these sort of smaller memory capacity Switch cards. You know, we also had an announcement of a big game at this Nintendo Direct we'll be talking about later is doing a similar tack, so we'll talk about it then. So, like, what do you think, though? You plan on picking either of these these up?
Maybe. I mean, I know that the Revelations 1 and 2 were really well celebrated, but, I mean, you know how I get with spooky games, which is also why I'm not sure how I feel about Resident Evil 7 Biohazard Gold Edition coming to the West on December 12th for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. The cool thing is it will come with all of the DLC, including the one that's not released yet.
End of Zoe.
Or I should say the ones. There's also
Not a Hero also was initially supposed to come out more recently, but it ended up getting pushed back, like, a lot, basically.
Oh, so that's why everyone's complaining about Chris Redfield's new design.
Yeah, he's just not as sexy as the old one.
Yeah.
We also have word that Sonic Forces will be releasing on November 7th. This is, of course, going to be available on the Switch, PS4, Xbox One. If you pre-order it and get the bonus edition version of the physical release, you'll get a copy of the game, you'll get a controller skin with Sonic on one side and Infinite on the other. You'll also get cosmetic items for your original character based on Jet Set Radio, Knights, Persona 5, Puyo Puyo, and Super Monkey Ball.
That's super cute.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that Persona 5 mask and outfit, Slaggy, I thought of you. Are you going to make a Persona-themed original character?
Declined to state. You never saw it coming.
That brings us to our last release date update. Release update? And that is that Fire Emblem Warriors will be releasing in North America on October 20th, and it will be getting the special edition treatment that we have come to expect. The special edition will be $80, and it will come with the software, 3 CDs with music from the game, a dual-sided poster tracking the games that each character originally appeared in, and 25 character art cards on a 5x7-inch premium card stock with a cool slipcase to hold the cards.
Wow.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. It will also be released. It'll be releasing on the Nintendo Switch and 3DS. I believe the special edition is only for the Switch release, and it will be releasing in Japan about a month earlier on September 28th.
Oh, wow.
Please look forward to it.
Which means you might just download it.
If it has English language support, I would definitely consider it. All right, all that having been said, let's talk some news.
News. News. News. Oh, my God. News.
Slaggy, do you want to get us started on our news this week?
I was going to say, I would love to start it off because this is news that I'm very excited about.
Oh my God.
We have finally a new That Game Company game announced. This is
Sky,
and it's going to be available for iOS devices, Apple TV, iPhone, and iPad.
Oh no. So how do you feel about this, given that you're an Android user?
It's a good thing that I am going to be getting my iPhone 8 Plus in another little bit over a week.
Excellent. Yeah, you know, a lot of people I've seen online very frustrated about the fact that this will at least be a timed exclusive, if nothing else. That having been said, the game looks like a spiritual successor to Journey.
It does.
And that has me very, very excited.
It looks like there's lots of clouds because, you know, sky, but also what we do know is that 8 people will be able to roam and explore together, and they're little caped characters who can jump, glide, and fly, and so, like you said, there's definitely some elements of Journey here. I wonder if it will make me cry the way that Journey made me cry.
Probably. We also have word that Terra Battle 2 will be launching in Japan on September 21st for iOS, Android, and PC. This is, of course, the sequel to the gigantically popular Mistwalker mobile social game. I thought that it was a lot of fun, a lot of, like, real, like, strategy RPG elements, a lot of character collection with art from all kinds of different very famous games artists in Japan, which I thought was very cool. Really looking forward to checking this out. I probably won't download the Japanese release, but it is still scheduled to launch westward this summer, so time is running out, guys.
Yeah. Kamen Rider Climax Fighters.
Time is running out.
Kamen Rider Climax Riders is...
Climax Fighters.
Yeah. There's a trailer that shows off some multiplayer action, and exciting for you, and I mean also me, but mostly you, because you're the toku dude, is that there will be an Asia release in English. I was trying to say English and Asia, and then that didn't work out. There'll be 1v1, 2v2 options, and you can play as Kamen Rider Build, Xade, Ghost, Drive, Gom, Wiz, Blizzard, Forz, Ooh, W, Decade, Kiva, Deno, Kabuto, Hibiki, Blade, Thais, Ryuki, Agito, and Kuga.
And yeah, this is so exciting. And, you know, they're also going to be doing a premium R sound edition. That is, of course, going to be retailing for a higher price point, very similar to what we see out of the, like, Gundam and Super Roboto Tyson games. Except in this case, it will feature actual tracks, like, of the various opening songs from all these Kamen Rider series, rather than just, like, MIDI, like, compositions that sound similar. This will just be, like, straight up, like, the vocal versions of the opening songs.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm super, super excited for this game. I'm a little bit, like, torn, because if the Asia version doesn't get a premium R sound edition, I don't know if I want it. That having been said, this will be releasing in Japan on December 7th, and it will be releasing in Asia with the English subs on the same date. I am really hoping I can get a copy of this game on that date, because that is my birthday, and this would be an awesome treat for myself.
Right?
Super stoked. What do you think, Slaggy?
I mean, I don't know a lot about Kamen Rider, but it looks really cool. And I mean, it looks visually great. Looks like it has a lot of fan favorites, writers, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just having Xade, having Fours, having Double, having Fives, obviously. Yeah, this is definitely one that I think the fans are going to go nuts for.
All right. In other news, Rockstar Games has announced that they are bringing back L.A. Noire.
What?
Yeah. For PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and HTC Vive. Is it Vive or Vive?
I've always said Vive.
Vive.
Okay, the thing is, like, I get that the VR version for the Vive is a big deal. It's going to have, you know, 7 of the game's cases, and it's going to be in all 3 or all VR. And obviously, for a game like this, that's actually going to be really cool. The thing is, for me, that's kind of shocking is actually that it's getting a Switch port.
Yeah.
We don't see a lot of Rockstar support on Nintendo platforms. It's very hard for me to imagine, though, like, if this game sells well on the Switch and Rockstar feels like there's a market and an audience for their games on the Switch, I mean, to me, it's almost like, well, we probably wouldn't get Red Dead Redemption 2, but could we get a port of the first one? Because that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Could we get a port of the last-gen versions of GTA 5? Because that's still their best-selling game of all time, like, by far.
Yeah.
So it's really an exciting time and opportunity.
It'll have a Joy-Con mode with gyroscopic controls, touchscreen controls while not in TV mode, and HD rumble compatibility.
Yes. We also, of course, have word that the Xbox One, PlayStation 4 versions, you know, it will include the full game with all DLC, just like the Switch version, but it will also have 4K modes for people with PS4 Pro or Xbox One X. It's going to have new high-res textures, new cinematic camera angles, and lighting and cloud enhancements. For me, I couldn't really give a shit about any of that. I'm going to buy it on the Switch because I will buy literally anything on the Switch, but still very exciting news for anyone who felt like they missed out on L.A. Noire. I actually thought it was kind of a cool game, and I'm excited for more people to get a chance to have some time with it. We also have a very, very interesting tease here from Nicalis. Basically, they've been teasing 5 new Switch games. We do not, unfortunately, know what they all are, but the ones that we do know, because basically they uploaded to Twitter like a Switch system menu showing the game icons of some new games that have been unannounced. The first one, and most easily recognizable, is the 1001 Spikes, which we kind of already knew was coming. But we also have an icon for Code of Princess, which was, of course, a game that released on the 3DS, recently got a PC port. A lot of people like it. Wasn't really for me, but I still might buy it because LOL Nintendo Switch. We also got confirmation of VVVVVV, which I still, like, is that just called VVVVVVVV?
I think so.
All right. And Night Terrors. Night Terrors is
with a KN.
Yes. It's a endless runner beat-em-up with procedurally generated levels. It got a GoFundMe campaign some time back, and the developer of the game basically retweeted Nicalis' tease tweet and was like, look carefully at this image, that's all I must say. So people are super excited about it. The fifth game does remain a mystery, but I'm sure we'll hear more more before too long. It's been really interesting to me how hardcore Nicalis has been supporting this Switch, but at the same time, you know, we're hearing left and right now from a lot of indie devs that Switch is basically where they're making the majority of their money, oftentimes the Switch outperforming every other console combined. So I mean, definitely seems like a good time to strike on the Switch.
Our friends over at Midboss are working on a new iteration of read-only memories, and that from what I can tell so far, it's going to be the definitive version.
Yes. We also have word here out of Bandai Namco. Gosh darn it.
I thought you did Bandai
Namco. No, that one was 100% on accident. The upcoming Gintama Ranbu will be releasing in Asia as Gintama Rumble with Japanese dubs and English subs. And what this basically says to me, you know, this along with Taiko no Tetsujin, you know, the Kamen Rider, we've talked about this for, you know, the Super Roboto Tyson games, some of which I've even bought. We're really seeing, I think, Bandai Namco has really locked in on the fact that a lot of us otaku really want to play all these anime games, maybe not in high enough numbers for them to bring them over to North America, but still enough to actually produce English language subs. I definitely have seen this as a trend. It's one that I think, you know, we really noticed last year, and I feel like this year they've really doubled down to the point where now every kind of like fan favorite franchise is getting an English sub release in Asia. Do you have any thoughts on that, Slaggy?
No, I think it's a good trend. I mean, I think it's a nice, I guess I could say, compromise.
Well, yeah, like I can't imagine that there's a big enough Gintama fandom in North America to properly release this here, you know, pay all the money it would take to publish it here, pay for, you know, a big fancy localization and dubbing. But at the same time, it's easy for me to imagine that they will make thousands more sales just on importers who are happy to get the English language version. You know, a few thousand units might not be enough to justify localizing it, but I'm sure, you know, free money in their pocket, they're going to be happy to have.
Yeah.
Everyone wins.
We have a new announcement from Atlas for Shin Megami Tensei. This is a smartphone project called DX2 Shin Megami Tensei Liberation. Originally, it was thought that it would be called Shin Megami Tensei Revelations, but I guess the kana for Revelations and Liberation are pretty close.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be racist when I say this.
But the L and the R and the B and the V,
Exactly. So it's totally understandable how that mix-up happened, but yeah, it's Liberation. We actually have a little more information on this game, but I'm going to want to wait to talk about that because we're almost coming to October and we need some spooky stuff in store to talk about.
Yes.
Keep your eyes out for that.
Well, spooky stuff we can talk about now is that Dead Rising 4 is coming to the PS4, finally.
And what is this specific release going to be called?
Oh, it's called Dead Rising 4 Frank's Big Package.
I saved that one just for you.
They know. They know who likes Frank.
So the cool thing about this, you know, it's kind of meant to be the definitive edition of the game. Dead Rising 4 was kind of a lackluster release, but I only played the core game. Maybe it's better with all the extras. But something that's cool is they're also adding what they're calling the Capcom Heroes mode. This draws from the back catalog of Capcom games, including some weird ones like Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. It basically gives you all these Capcom outfits you can wear. Also, you know, it's like some Mega Man and some Street Fighter themes.
Including Cammy.
And you will get...
You wanted Frank West and Butt Floss. Here's your time.
I sure do.
And that's a Zangief. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty into this. So, man, we are thirsty. Really cool that he'll also have like special move sets to go with these costumes, unique to each costume. It's going to be releasing in North America and Europe on December 5th.
Cool.
We also have word of a new set of Shovel Knight amiibo. This will be a Spectre Knight, Plague Knight, and King Knight amiibo. They will be unlocking new helper fairies, bonus armor, and more. So please look forward to it on the Switch edition of Shovel Knight, and presumably also 3DS and Wii U.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's just really cool to see how Shovel Knight has grown.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I backed it on Kickstarter way back in the day, and now it's like the golden child of indie games.
Yeah.
We also have some word here from Capcom. They will be releasing a new puzzle fighter game for Android and iOS.
Yeah.
It'll be released worldwide in late 2017, and it will feature characters not only from Street Fighter and Darkstalkers like the original games, but other Capcom series as well. So, you know, this is something to look forward to, I guess. I will say, and the only reason I say I guess is because I'm a little butthurt that it's going to be a mobile game. For me, Puzzle Fighter is something I really want a controller for, so I am just praying that this gets ported to the Switch, PS4, yeah. Xbox One, PC, even just as like a $10 digital download game on the eShop or whatever. Like, I'd be very, very happy for that. What I'm not very, very happy about is the new art style, which is a bit reminiscent of the Marvel versus Capcom Infinite art style. There's just something about it that doesn't do it for me, but as long as the gameplay is there, I'll definitely still be
there. See, to me, I'm like, did they just try to make it look like Beautiful Joe?
Ah, that's actually a really good way to look at it.
Which, I mean, but I mean, then it's not even as stylized as Beautiful Joe, but, you know, like, the part of the appeal for original Puzzle Fighter was the super cute GB art, and this is kind of like, yeah, I mean, when you see the trailer, and actually, like, the promotional art's not as bad, but, yeah, it's just, it's, it looks like a 7th grade girl trying to draw anime and, like, getting the proportions wrong, aka my life.
Oh my god, same though, girl. So we also got a Nindies Summer Showcase in the last month, and we're not going to talk about everything they discussed, because a lot of it is stuff we've talked about here in other contexts, but there was a couple of news stories that came out of it. We're going to talk about the biggest one first. This is the announcement of a new No More Heroes game. You may recall a new No More Heroes game was teased back at the Switch reveal event in, I think that was in January.
Mm-hmm.
We do finally now have an idea of what the game is going to be all about. This is going to be a new No More Heroes game. It's called Travis Strikes Back. It is going to be taking Travis Strikes Again. My bad. It is going to be taking place after the original games. It involves Bad Girl's father coming for revenge against Travis, and basically they're going to have to face off in 6 different, like, game-themed worlds. We don't really know a lot yet about how that mechanic is exactly going to work, but Sudagoichi has noted the game will be a full 3D adventure similar to the other games. It's been reported a little differently. Some reports have noted, and some translations have noted, that, like, the different worlds in the game are all going to be based on, like, different indie games that exist in our real world. Some people have reported it as they're going to be uniquely original indie themed game worlds made by Grasshopper Manufacture that are just, like, loosely homaging mm-hmm. other real world,
like,
indie
we saw,
games.
What was what's the indie GTA clone?
You're talking about Retro City Rampage?
No, Miami. The Miami.
Hotline Miami.
Yeah, I think it's Hotline Miami, or at least very reminiscent of Hotline Miami in the trailer, right?
Well, so in the trailer, they're actually playing Hotline Miami on a TV when they get sucked into the game world, but we haven't seen yet if they're actually going to show up in a game world specifically themed around Hotline Miami, or if it won't just be loosely homaging Hotline Miami.
Either way, I'm getting some serious Wreck-It Ralph vibes, and I am here for it.
Yes!
So and need to charge up that beam katana.
And Suda-san has noted that, you know, there will be definitely real-world indie games represented in Travis Strikes Again through the game's known shirt system. You know, very similar to the other No More Heroes games where Travis has a whole collection of shirts with, like, licensed, real-world licensed characters and art.
I always chose to just make him not wear a shirt, so...
Because of course you did. So I definitely think that we will be seeing some really cool and cute surprises, and knowing nods when this releases exclusively for the Switch in 2018.
Wow, that's been 10 years since original No More Heroes.
Indeed. We also got the announcement of Super Meat Boy Forever for the Switch in 2018. This is, of course, really exciting. It's kind of like an endless runner, but done with the difficulty and mechanics that you would come to expect from Super Meat Boy. And Team Meat also confirmed that we will be getting the original Super Meat Boy released on Switch.
That's excellent.
Very exciting.
What do you think? How do you feel about Nugget, Meat Boy, and Bandage Girl's child?
I think Nugget is adorable. We also have word here, last but certainly not least, in our news section, that Super Beat Sports is coming to the Nintendo Switch. You may recall that Beat Sports was a Harmonix game made for the Apple TV that was, you know, sort of like sports-themed games that were all set to, like, rhythm and music in the style that Harmonix is most well known for. We are getting an updated updated and upgraded version for the Nintendo Switch.
Excellent.
I am really excited about this, and I will definitely be downloading this when it releases this autumn.
That is super exciting.
So now I want to take a look at some Culture Club stories. These are, of course, some of the gaming world's bigger and more interesting stories that maybe didn't fit in any of our other categories. I do want to note before we dig in here, you might be expecting to hear us talk about PewDiePie, given everything that has happened recently. I think it's pretty obvious why we're not talking about PewDiePie, because we have already set our piece on that person. Not that person has not given us any reason to believe that they have changed, and we're done wasting breath on it. So the first piece here that we have of Culture Club news is that the Xbox Live Indie Games program is coming to an end. Xbox 360 owners will be able to continue purchasing Xbox Live Indie Games through September 29th. After that point, you'll still be able to access, play, and re-download games you've already bought from the program, but no new purchases will be able to be made. Of course, you know, it's really interesting here that there have been some really notable games that came up out of the Xbox Live Indie Games program. Stuff like Protect Me Night, which went on to birth the God of Protectors games, Castle Miner Z, I Made a Game with Zombies in It, Blocks That Matter, there's that weird fart holding in game that I can't remember the name of now.
Try Not to Fart.
What was the game where you are that baby that is born and you're like...
Baby Maker Extreme.
That was an Xbox Live Indie game. Definitely some really interesting stuff there that I think is worth checking out for, you know, just the pennies they cost. I only got a couple more weeks to look into that. If you haven't yet, I would recommend it. One thing to note, a lot of us initially thought that the Rock Band Network songs were going to be included in this. Harmonix has indicated that to the best of their awareness, that is not the case, and they will remain available for Rock Band 3 after this date.
Excellent. We have some good news coming out of Nintendo.
More? Like, aren't they already having a pretty good year?
Well, not with
all
the kerfuffle
all,
of the...
It was a pretty good year.
Not with the kerfuffle of the Super NES Classic Edition, but because of the high demand, they announced that they will be continuing production through next year. More units will be shipping out on the release date on September 29th, then were shipped of NES Classic Edition all last year. Shipments will be arriving in stores regularly, and the NES Classic Edition will be coming back next summer with new shipments.
So what this really sounds like to me is that for all of the people who have been screaming bloody murder about Nintendo underproducing in order to create artificial scarcity, it really does sound like the more obvious and likely business call that, you know, first off, they had to be making more Switches, and also industry-wide, there are some parts and component shortages right now. That actually was probably why there were these allocation issues, and Nintendo truly is doing what they can to remedy it. Huh.
Who would have thought?
What are your thoughts on this one, Slaggy?
This makes me happy because it means I'll have a much better chance of getting both of them.
Excellent. Yeah, I still cannot wait. The Super NES Classic Edition releases in North America September 29th. We're almost there. A lot of gaming magazines. I may have said this last week, so I won't harp on it for very long. A lot of gaming magazines, or I should say websites now, have played the new version of Star Fox 2 that is on the Super Nintendo Classic Edition and have confirmed it is different from any of the ROMs that have leaked to date. It is a complete version of the game, and I am salivating waiting to play it. I cannot wait for this. We also have word here on some bad Nintendo news that they are officially ending Miiverse services on November 8th. This, of course, totally sucks. Miiverse launched back in 2012 for the Wii U, eventually also got sort of patched into the 3DS. Really fantastic social network where gamers could share messages and hand-drawn posts via their game devices. We have talked a lot on this show about how great Miiverse is over the years. I am super bummed that it is ending and that it doesn't already exist on the Switch. That's probably one of my big Switch complaints at the moment. We also have word that Sony's annual press conference in advance of the Tokyo Game Show will be happening this year on September 19th. Of course, you know, that'll be just later this week. Definitely something I'm very excited about. Really looking forward to it. We always end up getting some cool announcements out of these events. I think last year the announcements that we got that were really big and notable were like Gundam Versus, Warriors All-Star, Earth Defense Force 5, Itadaki Street, Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy 30th Anniversary. In previous years, we've gotten stuff like Senran Kagura. So it's, you know, typically a place where some big announcements are made. What do you think, Slaggy?
Yeah, I'm always looking forward to, I mean, in Tokyo Game Show is going to always, like, this is always a fun time of year because, you know, we had Gamescom, there was PAX, although, you know, PAX doesn't usually have a lot of big announcements necessarily, but, you know, there's that going on. And then Tokyo Game Show, so it's nice that the post-E3 summer lull is now coming to an end.
Indeed. Although it's been a weird summer lull. I feel like we've still had constant releases and constant news this year.
That's true.
But hey, you know, it's all good in the hood. We also have word here from Battleborn's creative director indicating that this upcoming fall update will be the game's last. That is, of course, Randy Varnell. He wrote an open letter to fans of the game this weekend, talking about how most of the people working on Battleborn are shifting to a highly anticipated, unannounced project at Gearbox.
Battleborn 2.
I'm thinking it's probably something relating to Borderlands 3.
Probably.
So, you know, but meanwhile, we will be getting a new round of skins, including several Borderlands-themed costumes and appearances. Some balance patch changes based on player feedback. And as far as Gearbox is concerned, the servers for the game will be up and staying active for the foreseeable future. There may be some additional tweaks. It's just that, you know, by and large, the game is beginning to wind down. It sucks. You know, I know a lot of people who are really into this game, but it just launched at a really unfavorable time versus some of the best games the genre has ever seen. Really looking at Overwatch while I say that. So it sucks for all involved. I really hope that Gearbox does well with whatever this much anticipated project is. I may have some problems with Gearbox based on their business practices over the years, but I definitely never want to see anybody in this space fail.
Yeah.
So Slaggy, do you want to take this last one that veers a little bit into spoiler territory? So maybe we shouldn't say what the spoiler is. Have at.
Yeah, so Kotaku, specifically Jason Schreier, did a interview with, or was at least talking, oh yeah, it was an interview with Hajime Tabata about Final Fantasy XV's ending, basically involving the fate of Nocturne's buddies to...
Yeah, so we sort of have a canonical answer to, I think, one of the big questions people were asking after finishing the game. And, you know, I know that I saw a lot of people, including listeners of the show on Twitter, complaining about their interpretation of the ending and being upset about it. So we now have a canonical answer as to whether that was, in fact, the intent or not. And I think it's worth checking out if you still care.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, we'll ask you, you finished 15, right?
I got pretty far.
Oh, well then I'm really sorry that I had you handle this news story. I would have handled it.
I'd already heard the spoilers. That's kind of why I did not hear the spoilers initially from you. I had heard the spoilers and that's why I kind of at the time had stopped.
Well, let me ask you, is there any point at which you plan on going back to 15?
Oh, of course. Maybe with the PC version, just because it looks so good. Even though, I mean, you know, I did get pretty far in my PS4 copy, but you know, like,
you know, I bet people will make mods to like save your PS4 save onto a USB stick and then like import it to the PC version.
That's true.
Like, I would be shocked if that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
All right, well, all of that having been said, let's start our discussion. We are going to start our discussion here by talking about the Nintendo Direct that happened this past week. And then we are going to talk about two big games that came out in the last month. One of which is Destiny 2.
Borderlands 2.
And the other is Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Borderlands 2.
Let's start off with this Nintendo Direct. And first off, talk about Pokemon Ultra Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. You know, we got a new trailer for the game that was very exciting. Got an announcement of a new Pokeball Edition new Nintendo 2DS XL releasing on November 3rd.
Already pre-ordered it.
Oh, wow. But probably the biggest news for Poke nerds out there were the announcement of two new Ultra Beasts. These are known in North America as UB Burst and UB Assembly. They're available in Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, respectively. You know, they're version exclusives. We also got word that Necrozma will be taking over Solgaleo to become Duskmane in Ultra Sun, and will be taking over
Lunala
to become Dawn Wings in Ultra Moon. What this means is that this is going to be the first time we've gotten a sort of like third version that brings new Pokemon to the table. Already people are rampantly speculating on what else new we might see, as it's very rare we get to learn... It's very rare we get to learn everything new in one of these games during a trailer like this. So if they're teasing this, it's probably the tip of the iceberg. I'd like to ask you, Slaggy, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, as far as the Necrozma takeover, that was obvious from the logo reveal back in the day. We were theorizing about that. I still think it's cool. I love UB Burst, so I'm going to have to get Ultra Sun. Sorry about it if you're getting Ultra Sun as well, but...
Well, I had previously gotten Moon, so I was thinking I might get Ultra Sun, but we'll see.
I mean, I guess in the end, between Yumi and Sulfur, we'll make it work, but I'm hoping for more Alolan forms, and we still don't know a lot about the story, so...
Indeed. Oh, we also got the exciting announcement, though. If you download Pokemon Gold and or Silver for the 3DS Virtual Console, which is releasing this week on September 22nd, you will be able to get a Celebi for your Pokemon Sun, Moon, Ultra Sun, and Ultra Moon games.
All you gotta do is plug your... cell phone adapter into your Game Boy Color, and no, you don't have to do all that. But I mean, this is exciting because, I mean, you know, obviously there's been Celebis throughout the years for, you know, later releases, but you know, we were really never able to get a Celebi back in the day. I don't even remember if they had Toys R Us promotions for Celebi.
There have been many promotions for Celebi at this point, but initially, yeah, Celebi was a hard one to get.
And I was always salty about the, even though I didn't even have a phone, like, you know, I was still salty about it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really excited about this.
I'm excited about that Dusk form Lycanroc.
Did you just say Dust with a T?
Dusk.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm really excited. Between all of these new mythical Pokemon downloads and special Charizards and Salazzles and now Celebi and the Lycanroc, I'm just excited for Pokemon. I'm excited for everything they're doing, and I can't wait to jump back into the world of Pokemon.
Yeah, and I mean, the funny thing is that I was like, oh, this isn't Pokemon Switch yet. That just means Pokemon Switch is probably next year and will be worth the wait.
Yeah, it's going to be so epic. We also got the announcement that the Alliance Alive will be heading westward in early 2018 for 3DS.
Cute.
You know, I mostly complain about 3DS games in 2017. I do wish this game were coming to Switch, but I will absolutely be downloading, or probably not downloading, I'll probably buy a retail copy, but I'll absolutely be playing this. You know, it's sort of like, I've seen a lot of people compare it to Bravely Default, which is a super good to me. Overall, I'm a big fan of a lot of the creative staff involved. You know, the scenario, as I recall, is written by the scenario writer of Suikoden. I just super stoked. We also got an update on the Kirby 3DS release that has been teased repeatedly for the big... for the big Kirby anniversary event. This one is Kirby Battle Royale. It's going to be a 3DS game that releases in January 2018 in North America. It's kind of like a multiplayer battle arena Kirby game. It looks pretty weird.
Yeah.
But I'm into it. I love Kirby. I love how experimental Nintendo always gets with Kirby. So I'm eager to see what this brings to the table.
We have a new announcement of a new game in the Style Savvy series, or the Style Boutique as it's known overseas. It is New Style Boutique 3 Styling Star for 3DS. That'll be releasing on November 24th, 2017. No North American release yet, but I feel like these Style Savvy games typically do come over here.
Yeah, I anticipate that we will get this release.
The funny thing is I've always been like, yeah, Style Savvy, but I've never actually played a Style Savvy, so...
You would love this game.
Yeah, just too bad it's not a Switch game.
Yeah, yeah. You know what is going to be a Switch game pretty soon, weirdly enough, is both Doom and... And Wolfenstein
2. Wolfenstein 2.
It's specifically going to be Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, which is a game I'm actually really excited about, given the current political climate. Doom is going to be releasing on Switch this holiday season. The physical release will have the single-player game mode on a cart, and then the multiplayer stuff will all be an optional download.
Cool.
So if you don't want to play any of the multiplayer stuff, just don't download it. If you do, download it and you're good. I'm really excited about this. New Colossus will be releasing in 2018. The actual footage they showed of Doom, they showed no footage of Wolfenstein 2, but the footage of Doom looked like a very authentic port. So really excited. You know, a lot of people have been speculating that we would never see Switch getting current gen ports because of the tech barrier, let's say. I think that Doom is going to put a cap in that and really show that this is not the case. We will absolutely get, you know, AAA ports. And as long as I think these games are supported, I think we'll see more. So if you haven't played these games or you did play them and you love them and want to play more, pick it up on Switch.
Yeah. We also got the announcement of Arcade Archives, which are Nintendo Switch releases of classic Nintendo arcade games. The first one, of course, is Arcade Archives Mario Brothers. This is the, you know, that's the best way I can describe it. You know, Mario Brothers, not Super Mario Brothers. PAL block.
The best way I would describe it is, you know, that Versus minigame that was in Mario Brothers 3 and that was also included in pretty much all of the Mario Advance games.
I mean, I have to say, that was really my introduction to Mario Brothers. I have to admit, like, I claim to be, like, you know, the ultimate Mario fanboy or whatever, but I didn't know until later that was Mario. I thought the first Super Mario Brothers.
I still have an Atari 2600 cartridge of this game.
Well, that's where a couple of years of age difference between us makes a difference.
It's true. You're absolutely right. Something very interesting is that Nintendo did note that some of these Arcade Archives games, and they teased several, which we'll talk about in a moment, but they had noted that, you know, there will be some tweaks from the original releases. So it's interesting to think about what they're going to be doing in that regard.
Yeah, we have we had teasers of Punch-Out versus Balloon Fight versus Cuckoo Land and versus Mario Brothers.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing about versus Mario Brothers is that's basically the NES game Super Mario Brothers, but with a collection of levels from both Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 2, or as we know it, Westward, The Lost Levels.
Right.
So definitely some different experiences here. If you didn't, like me, grow up in an arcade. Also want to note the arcade version of Punch-Out, a very different experience from the NES version of Punch-Out. So definitely some cool stuff here if you didn't spend a lot of time in arcades in the 80s. Very excited about this initiative. And
I
hope this
means...
Are you
excited for versus Cuckoo Land?
No.
Everyone hates Cuckoo Land.
Yeah, rightly so. It's fucking Cuckoo Land. I will note, you know, obviously Arcade Archives is also the banner under which the Neo Geo games are being released by Hamster. You know, this is hopefully really going to be a big pillar of the eShop presence are these ports of classic arcade games. I love arcade games, and I will, again, I'll buy all of them on Switch, so just keep releasing them. I will keep buying them. Thanks.
Yeah. We have an announcement. We had the announcement of the release date for Elder Scrolls V Skyrim for Nintendo Switch, November 17th, 2017.
Wow.
And, I mean, you know, you can play basically as Link, so why not? Tide you over until the release of the Zelda DLC.
Yeah, and you know, something really cool about this Elder Scrolls port, as you say, you know, the Zelda costuming and gear and stuff and shield and sword. I think people are really going to jump in on Skyrim on the Switch. I think it's going to be another really great platform for the sales of Skyrim. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
We also have word in Japan that they will be getting an online cloud-based version of Phantasy Star Online 2. This is going to be releasing on the Switch in 2018. Very similar to what we saw on the 3DS with Dragon Quest X, which was the online MMO version of Dragon Quest. The game will be running via the cloud online, and it will be using streaming to stream the game to your Switch. I don't know if this reflects on the Switch poorly from a tech perspective, or if this was just the easiest way to get a free-to-play version on the Switch. I'm not sure. Either way, very interesting. I'll be very eager to hear how this goes.
Still no announcement of a US release.
Right?
But hey, maybe because of Switch, maybe this will finally be what brings PSO 2 to the West.
Oh, man, that would be great.
Dragon Quest Builders is coming to the Nintendo Switch. That'll be coming in spring 2018. It will have an exclusive feature, which is a great saber cub that your character can ride around.
And it's so cute.
Yeah, I will probably pick this up because I haven't spent a lot of time yet with Minecraft on Switch, but, you know, like, I finally understood the appeal of Minecraft once I started playing around, and from what I've seen and heard about Dragon Quest Builders, like, you know, it's equally as cute with the Dragon Quest flavor of it.
You know, I really enjoyed it on PS4. I'm a little torn on the idea of picking it up on Switch just because I'm not sure that this is a game I want to revisit. I really love the building aspects, but, you know, there's this thing that happens in Dragon Quest Builders where when you leave one chapter to the next, like, you start over.
Oh.
And that is, for me, just not as fun as, like, one persistent village that you're building. That having been said, I describe this game to people as Minecraft with guidance and story out of Dragon Quest. For a lot of people, that sounds very appealing. So I could definitely see this game doing well on this platform in North America.
Yeah.
We also got a release date for Xenoblade Chronicles 2. That is December 1st, 2017.
Almost in time for your birthday.
Right? And, you know, a lot of people... Well, it will be in time for
your
birthday.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, just a little bit before your birthday.
We also got the announcement that it will have a special edition for $100. That will come with the game. It will come with a sound selection CD. It will come with a metal game case and a 220-page hardcover art book.
Wow.
There was also the announcement of a new Nintendo Switch Pro controller, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Edition. It looks very cool. It has a, you know, like a cross on the actual body of the controller in like a cool like green coloring. I like these like weird like magenta colored grips that just look really cool. I actually think this is like a really gorgeous controller. I kind of want one.
Yeah, I'm like, too bad I already have a Pro controller because I want that.
Right? I just have to say at this point, watching the Direct at this point, it really hit me like Nintendo is very serious about the Nintendo Switch. Like, I feel like it is just, like, the upcoming release calendar for Nintendo Switch is ridiculous at this point. Mm-hmm. Like, the rest of the year is, it seems like, is just gonna be hit after hit.
And then we only know just a few tiny things about next year, you know?
Well, right? You know, we did get another look at, like, a Yoshi recently, so, you know, that is also gonna be really cool next year.
But I feel like their biggest announcements they haven't even teased yet.
Oh, for next year, for sure. You know, I mean, so we're going to have all kinds of third-party support we're going to be getting this year alone. You know, Doom and Skyrim. We have the Resident Evil games coming that we talked about earlier. We have
a bunch of nindies.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, all of the nindies, including stuff like Rocket League, which I think is going to be huge. You know, we have Mario Odyssey. We have Fire Emblem Warriors. We have Xenoblade Chronicles. I mean, I just feel like the next 4 months on the Switch are going to be hit after hit, just like it has been already. I feel like Nintendo has really stacked the deck here. I know I'm prone to hyperbole where Nintendo is involved, but when I think about what the year one of the Switch is going to look like once we reach, what was it, March 3rd that it released?
Mm-hmm.
I think when we hit, you know, March 2nd, 2018, and look back on what that first year of the Switch was like, I think people are going to be shook that that was the year one lineup of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have any thoughts on that one, Slaggy, before we get back to our topic at chief?
No, but I look forward to early March episode.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to do a looking at the Switch's first year. And I will probably rant and ramble again.
We have a new trailer for Square Enix's Project Octopath Traveler.
And a demo of the game.
Oh, a demo? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the demo is up, and I have played it. It is good. Very reminiscent, not visually, but in terms of gameplay systems, very reminiscent of the Bravely Default series, but I feel like, you know, in the same way that they sort of evolved what, like, retro-style JRPGs can be in Bravely Default, they're doing that again. It in some really interesting ways sort of reinvents the wheel, does things that a lot of JRPGs have done over the years, but doing them in very different ways. I am hype AF for this game. If you haven't checked it out, Slaggy, I would highly recommend the demo.
Yeah, I totally forgot that there was a demo available.
Yep, it will be a simultaneous worldwide release in 2018 on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
We also got the announcement of Minecraft is now available on new 3DS. This is, of course, exciting for people who like Minecraft and don't have it on another other portable hardware. I will say for me, watching it, all I could think was like, wow, that looks like a downgrade from the Switch version, but it's to be expected. And overall, you know, for people who are kids, especially getting their new 2DS XLs for this holiday season, I think
like me.
Minecraft will be a perfect download out of the box.
Yeah, definitely.
We also got the announcement of a new Mario Party game for 3DS. This is Mario Party the Top 100. It's going to be releasing on November 10th, and it is going to feature the top 100 minigames from the series. This is a good example of a game that I desperately wish were on Switch, but if my friends pick it up, I'll probably pick it up too.
Well, the good news is that it has download play, so you don't need to pick it up.
Oh, hooray!
So maybe I'll just pick it up with my new 2DS.
That will be great, and I will love to play some of those old Mario Party 1 challenges with Rosalina and Waluigi.
Right. I hope it has, like, all of my favorites, basically.
I just named my favorites. We also got a new demo for Etrian Odyssey 5 on the 3DS, and it will have a carryover save data function for the full game, so feel free
nice.
To jump on in. The full game will be releasing in North America on October 17th.
We have more information now about the Kirby game that was shown at E3 for Nintendo Switch. It's called Kirby Star Allies. What happens is Kirby can throw hearts at up to 3 enemies to turn them into allies, and then they'll join him and fight through the level.
That sounds adorable. We also got word that the release window for this game is spring 2018.
That's awesome.
I'm not surprised to hear that it's so relatively soon. It actually looked very complete.
Yeah, and you know, some of the big guns that we don't know about yet will be later next year. So, I mean, knowing that we have Kirby, and this looks like, you know, a return to form for Kirby. What was the one on Wii U? Rainbow Blast or...
Rainbow something. I know the game you're talking about.
Where we had to draw. It was a cute concept, but, I mean, this looks much more like a Kirby game that we would come to expect.
Yeah. And, I mean, I loved that Wii U game, but it was basically just the old, like a sequel to the old DS Canvas Curse or whatever.
Right. This one looks more like a...
traditional Kirby game.
Yeah,
with multiplayer fun.
You have your friends play with you, too.
Hooray! We also got a new trailer for Radiant Historia Perfect Chronology, which is an expanded port of the original DS cult classic Radiant Historia. It's also going to be getting like a launch edition version that comes with stickers, an art book, and the game. It's going to be releasing in early 2018 for the 3DS.
Very cool.
We also got the announcement of an expansion pack for Snipper Clips. This is Snipper Clips Plus Cut It Out Together. It will be released physically in retail stores and will be a download for anyone who already owns the digital version of the game.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Cut it out.
We have two last news stories for you. Slaggy, do you want to take the first one?
Yes, we have a look at the amiibo release for the champions from Zelda Breath of the Wild. That'll be November 10th. And the cool thing is that it will unlock not only some materials and weapons that are themed with the champions, but also...
Well, and the weapons will actually be copies of the weapons that you got from the champions. So, like, if you were really upset that you lost that awesome Goron sword that you got from Daruk... be excited, because you're about to be able to get another.
Right. You will also have headgear based on the Divine Beasts, which look very cool.
Oh, yeah. I think that they all look so rad, especially the Va Meadow Divine Helm, the one from, like, the flying eagle
in
the sky.
Yeah, that's because Rivali's your boyfriend.
Oh, shut up. But also, yes. And then last, but certainly not least, because this is actually pretty big news, Nintendo revealed Arena of Valor. This is a MOBA done by Tencent that they are porting to the Switch. This is, of course, a previously released MOBA that they have released on mobile. It includes more than 35 hero characters, including a couple of crossover characters from Warner Brothers. I believe it's Batman and Wonder Woman at this point. Kind of a big deal that Switch is getting a MOBA and that it's getting support from Tencent. You know, Tencent is one of the biggest online game companies in the world, so them partnering with Nintendo for this console release is actually a really big deal. The beta for Arena of Valor will launch on the Switch for free this winter.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So we're going to now talk about some games we're playing. We're already more than an hour into this episode, so we're going to keep it kind of quick, keep it at a brisk pace. These are both games I would expect to hear more about in coming months. Not to give too big of a spoiler away, but basically these are both games that we really are enjoying spending our time with right now. I'm going to handle Destiny 2, Slaggy's going to handle Mario plus Rabbids. We'll both probably comment on both games as well, so don't worry, it's not just going to be one of us rambling. But I am charged talking about Destiny 2, released on the PS4 and Xbox One on September 6th, so, you know, just about 2 weeks ago now. It'll be releasing on PC on October 24th. I'm playing on Xbox. Hell no. I'm playing on PS4. Look, I love Xbox, but my Xbox is primarily a Rock Band machine. I'm comfortable with that. But basically, you know, the game feels like Destiny 1, except expanded in basically every way, and more user-friendly in basically every way, and with more content in basically every way. I've heard a lot of people say, like, oh, this just seems like a Destiny expansion. But, like, I don't think any expansion ever has had as much content as this game has. If anything, it just kind of makes me feel like the original Destiny was almost like a test run, and this is sort of the release that is what I think we all wanted out of Destiny. That having been said, I love Destiny, and all of the core gameplay is still around, still one of the most tight feeling and controlling first-person shooters in the console space. The art style remains, you know, that same very interesting sort of fantasy meets sci-fi in space feel from the original Destiny. One of the things I think that Destiny 1 really succeeded at and Destiny 2 continues to carry that, you know, the idea of this game world where you have everyone with these gigantic guns and some people with swords and they're using their special exo abilities or whatever special abilities to basically be like magical effects with, you know, throwing around their fire hammers and shit. It's cool. It's good stuff. I'm a big fan of Destiny as a universe, and I think Destiny 2 is just an enhancement in every way. One of the big things I've seen a lot of people call out online is that, you know, there is a much greater focus on storytelling. I'm actually very invested in the story on Destiny 2.
You invested in a game story?
Right. I haven't actually finished it yet because I've been playing it with other people online. The interesting thing, though, for those of you who understand what this means, is that I already have a light level or power level of like 240, like a max level already. I just haven't done all the story quests. Like, I did up to the point of unlocking strikes and patrols and challenges and what have you. And then I've just been grinding gear out since then. I'm really enjoying the game. I'm really enjoying its pacing, which, you know, is a little less select a mission from a menu, do it, and then be pulled out of the game. A lot more of an open world hub feel for the challenges and you know, patrols and what have you. For me, it ends up making the game feel a lot better. You land on, like, a new world, you coordinate with, like, an NPC quest giver, almost, and then just pick up quests from around that character and can just do them one after the other without having to go back into space and pick your next quest from a menu. It just feels more open. It makes, like, the public events feel a lot more dynamic. Public events have been expanded. At least I wasn't aware of heroic public events before, and I'm aware of them now. Very cool game design there. Just very much like Destiny, but to the next level. Super happy with it. I've had quite a few really cool experiences while playing the game, coming across some lower level characters, and we're all participating in public events. I've initiated a few heroic public events because there's a couple in particular that I really like doing the heroic versions of. And I thought that mechanic alone, where it's like, oh yeah, you have to protect this drill while Cabal forces are going to come and attack it. And like, there will be like a giant dropship overhead that's like giving them backup. And if you destroy the dropship, then you'll get a captain to spawn. And that's how you initiate the heroic mode. And that kind of stuff to me is just so fun. And when you see these, you know, lobbies and they've never seen the heroic version pop before and they're all freaking out and they're super excited to take down this captain and get extra loot, it just creates like this really fun, very dynamic, very fresh feeling game from the bones of Destiny 1 that I think was really a maligned game in a lot of ways and misunderstood and underappreciated, even though it seems weird to call a game that sold that many of units underappreciated. Mm-hmm. I think it got a lot of flack that it didn't deserve. Slaggy, what are your experiences with Destiny 2?
I've watched you and Sulker play a lot of it. I was originally going to hold off for the PC, but watching you and seeing how it is in action, and like you've said, just how it seems to have added on and enhanced Destiny 1 in every single way, like, really has convinced me that I'm going to go pick it up tonight, actually, and officially, you know, start out. Like I said, I can't speak to, like, you know, the gameplay of it, but, like, you know, everything that you've described about it as someone watching it has definitely, you know, resonated with me.
Excellent. Yeah, I feel bad because you've been over this weekend and I've still played a lot of Destiny. I was playing from the living room here while Sulker was playing from the recording studio / bedroom here in the SS Game Buoy, and making Slagkick, like, sit on the couch and watch us play as he's playing some Mario plus Rabbids. And I got the feeling that he was actually paying a lot of attention to Destiny, and that was intentional because I wanted to get him hooked. So sorry about it. That having been said, if you do pick it up tonight, let me know. I'll totally run quests with you.
That was the plan.
Fantastic. Overall, from my sort of 2 week impressions, and I haven't done the raid yet, but I hope to do that in the next few weeks. My positives for the game, it's just an expansion of the concepts and themes of Destiny 1 in every way. If you liked Destiny 1 as a game at all, like you like the controls, you like the traversal mechanics, if you liked Destiny 1, you're going to love Destiny 2. Negatives, of course, you know, something that was very controversial is that shaders are now consumable items. It's a lot of people complaining that the game seems really focused on, like, feeding microtransactions down your throat. I don't feel that way at this point, but if I ever get to a point where, like, I need mods and I'm not getting them from the loot drops that I'm getting, I might start feeling that way. That having been said, up to this point, that's basically the only negative I have for the game. My overall impressions are incredibly positive. I was playing before I started putting this show roll together. I was playing during putting this show roll together. I was playing after sending Slagkick the show roll and waiting to actually record myself. I cannot stop playing this damn game. I will probably play more tonight. In fact, if Slaggy picks it up, I will definitely be playing more tonight.
Good, because I'll probably need a little bit of help.
So, Slaggy, why don't you take the floor, talk a little bit about Mario plus Rabbids. And I will say, Mario plus Rabbids, I've actually played more than Slaggy. I'm a little further in the game than him.
Thanks.
I'm still going to give him the floor. I might have some comments to add, though.
Right. So, Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle is the surprise seemingly hit now that we've had a few weeks since its release for the Nintendo Switch worldwide on August 29th. So, this, you know, it's very interesting because, like, the Mario elements are, like, perfectly spot on, but then you also, you know, you have the Rabbids in there as well, but, you know, like, it very much visually, like, the music, the aesthetic, everything is very Mario, and so they completely nailed that. And what is really interesting is that, I mean, there's a lot interesting about it. One is that it's running on Ubi's Snowdrop engine, which, you know, is, it means that, you know, like, not that I would really want The Division to be ported, because that game turned out to be problematic, but, you know, if Ubi was able to get Snowdrop running on the Switch, that's a pretty good sign. Also, the genre is that it's, you know, a strategic turn-based tactical role-playing game, so...
And, I mean, it plays very similarly to XCOM.
Like it is... Baby's first XCOM.
It kind of is, except it's also, especially if you're trying to get, like, 100% on each battle, it's also gets very hard. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this goes down as being known as, like, the hardest game with the Mario name on it ever, like, by the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry, continue.
I don't know, so basically, the story is there's, like, this little inventor girl who has an assistant, Beepo, who is helping her make the Super Merge helmet, which merges things together, and then the Rabbids come with a time washing machine, and it sucks everything in. Long story short, all of the little collectible items that the inventor girl, because she has, like, her room is, like, all Mario themed, it's super cute, and so basically they end up getting sucked into the Mushroom Kingdom, and chaos happens because of the Rabbids, and so basically you have to go and try and stop the Rabbids in little turn-based battles. It's very cute, and it's very much done with a lot of authenticity to, you know, the Mario universe, which is something that I was a little bit, I don't know if I would say concerned about. I was a little bit unsure about how another company would handle Mario. Like, I mean, specifically Ubisoft would handle Mario. But I think they completely nailed it. It's very fun. Like, you know, I haven't gotten deep enough in the game where the battles are, like, too tricky, but...
I do want to note here, and I just want to add on what you were just saying. Like, if I didn't know Ubi made this game, I would have believed someone if they told me it was a Nintendo title, as far as, like, the absolute polish is there. You know, know, it's a beautiful, gorgeous game. Like, it's stunning.
The writing
beautiful.
Is very funny, too.
The writing is on point. The Mario characters are all, like, perfectly in character in
and
terms of their animations.
Like, the rabbits are, like, a much more palatable version of the minions, although I actually like the minions now, which I never thought I would say, but, you know, if you understand the appeal of the minions but don't like them, you'll probably really like the rabbits in this. Even if the rabbits kind of annoyed you in the past.
Rabbit Peach is my everything. I love Rabbit Peach.
Yeah, like, there's a line about, like, sorry, she takes her cosplay very seriously.
Yeah, I cackled at that.
Yeah, no, it's a very, very much a lot of love. I mean, we saw that with, like, you know, one of the director, David Soliani, I think I'm saying his name right.
I believe so.
That was at E3, right? Where Miyamoto-san was saying that, like, oh, you know, he was, like, praising it, and, like, David-san was, like, basically feeling his oath and crying, and, you know, clearly, like, you know, from what we saw from, you know, the kind of, like, when they followed up about that, and he's like, oh, no, you know, I love the Mario series, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's clearly done with a lot of love. And the music was done by Grant Kirkhope, so that was kind of, you know, a super big deal. But, you know, then there's, like, these musical motifs of Mario, like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, was playing in one level. I was like, oh, that's cute. Or I don't know if it was that one, but, you know, there was one I was like, oh, I recognize that music. That's really cute. So, again, you know, the Mario identity is still very strong with this one.
Absolutely.
I'm really enjoying it so far. I don't know if I'd have really any negatives. I guess, you know, if you're not familiar with this type of grid-based gameplay at all, it could be a little bit different from what you're expecting. I mean, it is a grid-based tactical RPG.
Yep, every possible way.
But, I mean, if you like XCOM, if you like Final Fantasy Tactics, I would say even if you like Fire Emblem, I mean, it's not exactly Fire Emblem, but, you know, Fire Emblem does use the grid, so, you know, that these would be, if you're into those types of games, you would get a lot out of Mario and Rabbids.
I absolutely agree.
Do you have anything to add?
No, just that, you know, I agree that it's a really tremendous success.
It kind of defied all expectations, honestly. Like, when we first heard about the leak about this, we were like, what, really? Are you serious? And then, like, the marketing, like, hashtag sassy, hashtag attitude, but now I'm like, yes, little queen. Or yes, little princess, although she should be the queen.
Yes. All right, well then, let's move this show on, because we actually do have a couple of rumors this week.
Rumor has it.
So this first rumor...
Oh my God, did you hear about Becky? Actually, we know a Becky who we love very dearly, so right. I have no rumors about her.
You're rude.
I was thinking more like, oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big.
So Atlus's Tokyo Game Show 2017 Nico Nico Doga live stream page has shown an ad showing pre-orders for a limited edition version of Dragon's Crown Pro on PlayStation 4. So, you know, we have screen caps of the banner in question. Looks like the real deal. I think it's safe to say Atlus is going to be announcing a new version of Dragon's Crown at Tokyo Game Show this week.
We also have some box art rated PEGI 18, so this is from European retailers, of a Bayonetta and Vanquish pack for PS4 and Xbone. It specifically came from Czech Republic retailers Alza and Film Game, as well as a retailer from Slovakia that I'm not even going to try to pronounce because I don't want to come across as offensive.
I think that is a good call. I will, if this is real, and I really, really hope it is, I hope this is something we hear about in the next week at Tokyo Game Show. If this is real, I will absolutely buy it. Obviously, Bayonetta 1 is one of my favorite games. Vanquish is a game that I think is really underappreciated that I would love to see get some real love.
It's for people on the PlayStation Nation, you know, the PS3 version of Bayonetta was a mess, so...
Oh, yeah.
If you're, like, PlayStation exclusive and you don't do any other consoles, then this would definitely be worth it if it turns out to be real.
Absolutely. Alright, well, all that having been said, let's begin wrapping up by talking about what's up.
Borderlands 2.
I said, hey, what's going on?
Yeah. So I have actually not been doing as much gaming as I normally do. As I talked about here on the show when we were first getting started, I kind of have a lot on my plate right now. I have made some time for Mario and Rabbids and Destiny 2, because those are both games that for me are just like the right level of requiring focus that it really helps me to kind of basically create a little space between myself and everything I'm dealing with right now. So that's kind of it for me, are these two games really. But so I'd like to ask you, what else have you been playing this week?
For me, I've just been picking away a little bit at Final Fantasy 14. I had mentioned that I rolled a character over with where Rob from Orange Mouth Radio plays. Just to, because you know, the way that I play MMOs, like my characters have very strong identities. And so my main character in Final Fantasy 14 is all about very much the spooky classes. So like, he's a Dark Knight, you know, he has Summoner and Black Mage. And so, you know, all the very, like, spooky girl classes. And so things like, you know, if I had wanted to, like, you know, play Paladin and Bard and, like, just don't really match my vision of my character, which, you know, like, in another MMO world, it would just be like, oh, make a bazillion different characters. But the way that Fixiv works is that you don't have to do that. So I took advantage of the fact that this server has, like, the super XP bonus because it's underpopulated, I guess, which is weird because I know a lot of people, including Rob, who play over there. So I've just been...
Do you mind saying what server that is?
That's Midgard Stormer, which I can never pronounce correctly.
I think you just did.
It's the, you know, it's the dragon from, if you've played Fixiv, a pretty cool, sometimes frustrating level 50s dungeon. But yeah, I'm enjoying playing through again. I'm liking Bard a lot. It's pretty fun. And it's cool to, play through the story again with, you know, I played through the original Realm Reborn story up until, you know, the patch content. So it's cool to see it again and not be like, oh, I need to rush through to, you know, because I want to get to the end of it. So it's been fun. It's like, you know, I feel it's like replaying, like if I went back and replayed Final Fantasy 13 or Final Fantasy 9 or something like that. It's just like playing through a Final Fantasy game again.
That's awesome. And I'm really excited for you to get to see all the Heavensward story stuff, because the Heavensward story was so good.
Yeah, that was one of the motivating factors for, like, you know, like when I saw that this server was like, oh, it is low population, make characters here, you can get bonuses, I was like, sure, why not? I'm like, I already have two jobs in the 30s, and I'm like 10 levels ahead of the story quest content, so...
Dang.
Which was funny, because on my, you know, my main character, which I still do consider my main character, like, he got to level 46, and then was like, okay, well, you just have to grind fates and dungeons until you can get to the next part of the story quest, which I'm sure is not going to be a problem at all with this time around.
Excellent.
Yeah, otherwise, I played a little more Sonic Mania, Rabbids, as I mentioned. I missed out on the Splatfest because we had the worst heat wave in history, I think.
Yeah, that was literally the worst heat wave we've ever had in this area.
Which was also happening during a lot of you, if you were affected by, you know, the hurricanes, which our hearts go out to you, definitely. And
oh, absolutely.
But, you know, I know some of you listeners have family who were affected by that, but yeah, I mean, it was just, you know, something, climate change, that's just a myth. But not to get too political here, so I guess moving on, is it already time to talk about our feedbacks?
It sure is. Well, Bring those social links out.
Yeah, well, I want to take a moment to catch up on our Twitter.
Hooray!
And I noticed that I have not been favoriting tweets like I usually do after I have read them on air. That's kind of my way of keeping track of them, so I apologize if I did not read some of your tweets, but I'm going based off of when the last episode went up, which was the end of the month in August, which was our Sonic Mania episode, in which, replying to which, JD over on Twitter says, I'm so glad you guys pronounce Hydrocity correctly, because I guess a lot of people call it Hydro City Zone, which, I mean, yes, that's the joke, but it's Hydrocity. Hydrocity Zone. Actually, it's the Hydrox Zone. It's made up of...
It actually came before the Oreo Zone, but most people don't know that.
Yeah, but it's like, people call it the Imitation Oreo Zone. Your Enzyme, of course, says, have my two favorite podcasters had a chance to play any Destiny 2 yet? And then a happy emoji. We kind of answered that, so I'm not surprised you answered. I'm also like, aw, at favorite podcasters. But, so yeah, we have answered that with this episode. By the time...
I literally brought you up in conversation earlier today, Your Enzyme. Sulker and I were talking about, like, hopefully someday we'll get to to do the raid, and I was like, hopefully your enzyme will come through with the Sherpa.
Well, is your enzyme in your clan?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because your enzyme is super good at these games. And
Yorp.
Well, not that you're not, but, you know, like, probably, like, on a more hardcore level than you play.
I do what I can. It's better than some. It's worse than some. It is what it is.
Anyway, that just about does it. Catching up on a few tweets. You can always tweet us at @GameBuoy.org.
At GameBuoy.org. The .org is spelled out DOTORG.
And you can mail us at MailBuoy@GameBuoy.org.
MailBuoy@GameBuoy.org.
We're over at Facebook.com/GameBuoy.
Facebook.com/GameBuoy.
And of course, we love when you give us feedback. So we like your iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Google Play subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. I guess it's called Apple Podcasts now, right? I should get back on that.
I think so.
I should catch up with the time since I'm making the grand jump back to iOS, thankfully.
Wake up, Pearl.
Wait, did we not have some Splatfest news? Just kidding. Pearl.
I get it.
So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Spike to shout out to some... Oh, because we're on the...
Voice of Geeks Network over at VogNetwork.com, where you can hear us as well as such other fabulous shows as Girls Gone Wow, where you can get a female's perspective on the world's most popular MMO. Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom we steal so many of our cues. The Ranger Pridecast, where myself and Shane Olenko talk about the current season of the Power Rangers meta series, as well as the current season of the Super Sentai meta series. I will note that a lot of the issues that have affected this show's scheduling have also affected that show's scheduling. There's also some additional wrinkles on that show, but Shane and I are eager to get back to all y'all out there in Internet Radio Land in the coming weeks. We're still talking about the show basically every day. It's very much still happening, just life kind of gets in the way sometimes and have to deal with it to get through it. We also, of course, want to point you in the direction of the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. In terms of shows that aren't on VOG, you should check out the Nintendo Love Fest, which does exactly what it says on the tin, and their sister show X Nation, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. I also highly, highly, highly recommend you check out the Astral Era podcast. Astral Era is a Final Fantasy XIV podcast focused on in-depth discussion of new content, game mechanics, story/lore, music, and of course, glamour. You should also check out Reading is Fundamental, which is Slag Hicks' show featuring myself, Bob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from VG Realness talking about the current season of RuPaul's Drag Race when there is a current season to talk about. Slaggy, take us a place.
I'm going to take you to Panera Bread.
Yum.
I'm hungry. No, but we're going to take you to a game bar. Game Bar is the gay video game Prairie Home Companion and a part of the Hunty Bunch, along with Video Game Realness, serving up a dose of gaming chit-chat among friends. The Magical Boy podcast. Sorry, Magical Boys. I say boys, but it's an S, not a Z. Magical Boys podcast, a pop culture podcast from a queer perspective. They were formerly known as the Joystick Jockeys. So basically, what? Joystick Jockeys is evolving. Joystick of Jockeys.
LGBTQQTs.
Joystick Jockeys evolved into Magical Boys. So check them out over there. I'd also like to shout out to our allies over at the Nintendo Fun Club, your place for platformers, positivity, and pop punk. I like to think they're kind of like the cooler Game Buoy, no offense.
Basically.
They're like the cool kids where I'm like, they're like the cool kids who are like the cool punk kids in high school who were nice to you. Or like, I mean, it's my experience.
But I was like that. I was one of those kids.
Like, yeah.
But so, I'm not now.
But, like, they're, like, the cool punk kids in high school who were cool to you, and then, like, you're just a total nerd. And then I'd also like to shout out to our sister shows. As, you know, we mentioned, we're doing what we can to, you know, get those back on track. But, you know, life comes first, definitely. We got Anime Buoy, your port of call for anime recommendations, news bits, and discussions that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. And Stabcast, same type attack bonus, is the twice-monthly look at the deeper worlds of Pokemon. Definitely looking forward to, you know, we've got the 20th anniversary movie coming. Coming in November, right? That's November, right?
Yep.
We've got Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, so definitely looking forward to ending the year in a Poketastic way. And with that, our wonderful theme music was done by Zelda Reorchestrated, the project that aimed to reorchestrate beautiful Zelda music into gorgeous symphonic sound. They unfortunately shuttered their doors quite a while back, and, you know, if they were a place in the Zelda world, it'd probably be like the Temple of Time in Breath of the Wild that's all, like, broken and has, like, moss growing on it. But we're still pouring out a 40 upgrading into the Great Fairy Fountain in remembrance of them, and she's going like, here, let me upgrade something.
Excellent. All right.
Well, you know, she upgraded your defense in Breath of the Wild.
All right. Well, I just want to say thank all y'all out there in Internet Radio Land for listening to us this week. I hope you've had half as much fun listening as we've had talking. I actually expect we'll probably, you know, don't hold me to this. Obviously, things could come up. I wouldn't be wildly surprised if we had another episode for you in like a week. We have Tokyo Game Show coming up, the PlayStation 2017 conference coming up. There's definitely going to be some stuff to talk about, and just talking about this stuff is, for me, really fun and important right now, so I would expect more. We'll be back at you then, but in the meantime, keep gaming.
Keep gaming.
Keep thinking.
Keep thinking.
And take care of yourselves and each other.
You've heard of Elf on the Shelf. Now get ready for Susie in a Jacuzzi.
I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, mic check. I am checking my mic. Mic check. Slaggy, speak in your mic for me.
Mick Chalk.
Also speak.
Speak. Cheek squeak.
Speak using the volume you typically use when podcasting.
Podcastingvolumevoice.org.
Much better.